Man, as we watch that clip, we see people who have really become kingdom people, putting kingdom first. And as they put kingdom first, their business has been blessed. And it's still going strong. Here we are 54 years later, and you can go to look at their website and see if they're still going strong. They're still blessing God, giving away up to 82% of their profits, over $22 million to ministry. I mean, that's what it's about. When people really get it and understand that, you know, God is the priority in everything that we do, we will not go lacking at all, but to be able to be a blessing. Let's bow our heads as we get ready to go into the Word this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you because you give us opportunity, God, to come into your kingdom, Lord, and to be a part of what it is that you're doing here in the earth, God. You've drawn us unto yourself, God, and you've saved us. And Lord, your desire is to set us apart, Lord, and to make us a peculiar people, a people that do things that don't make sense to the natural world, Lord, but you can be magnified and glorified through our living and our faith, God. So as we come and we set our hearts on you, God, and we purpose to put you first, God, Lord, we allow you, God, hallelujah, to have your way in us and through us, Lord, and we can put our trust and our confidence in you. So speak to our hearts on today, God. Continue to draw us near. Continue to give us clarity and focus according to your purpose and your design for our very lives, God, and our existence in the earth, God. Hallelujah. Your word tells us, Lord, that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Hallelujah. We are in your kingdom, and we thank you for it right now. Lord, so we bless you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, amen. We're going to release our children and our youth, their classes. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's a great God. Let me say it like that. Yeah, he's more than good. He's gooder than good. Hallelujah. As we trust him and believe him and watch what he's able to do, he continues to do miraculous things and to just astound us of his power and his glory and operating in the earth. And I'm glad to be a part of what God is doing. How about you? Amen. Glad to be here. Glad to be in the kingdom. Amen. Operating, amen, for the King, amen, not for our glory, but for his. You know, as we look at, you know, this week, we're going into what's happening this week? Valentine's Day. Pastor Linda didn't forget. She's going to take care of me on Valentine's Day. I'm going to be her Valentine, amen. You know, so, but think about it, as we go into celebrating Valentine's Day, it's a day, amen, that we make, you know, people feel special. We set apart or we single out that loved one, that wife, that husband, amen, for singles, amen, people that married, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant others, family members. Some of us celebrate our sons or daughters, amen. But, you know, it's a time when we, you know, we want to make people feel close. We want to make them feel important and loved above all. But, you know, I was thinking, amen, as I was preparing to come today, I was thinking about, I can't help but wonder how many people have considered making God their Valentine. Amen. You know, to make him that priority Valentine. Will you be mine? Amen. All the days of my life. Amen. Putting him first. KF18. Amen. Because if we do that, then he's able to come and bless everything else. Isn't that right? Now, today we're going to be talking about kingdom priorities. Amen. In other words, to put something first, you got to make it a priority in your life. You know, right? Now, last week we talked about kingdom giving. Man, and then we got a little quiet, but at the same time, I think we got some understanding, amen, about kingdom first giving, amen. Understanding, and even with this clip, you know, we see how they put God first in their giving, and they didn't lack one thing. Amen. And like I said, they're going strong because God has blessed them in that endeavor. Amen. But they're not just giving monetarily. They're giving to the lives of people. Amen. They've expanded into ministry. Amen. A business that's interested in the welfare, the spiritual welfare of their employees. Amen. I mean, that to me, that is, I watched that clip. earlier, amen, a couple of weeks ago, as I watched it, I'm like, wow, this is powerful, because they incorporated every facet of what they do. And when then even I went to their website, amen, and you can see all the people that partner with them and all the places that they're touching, because they put the kingdom first, and because of that, they're extremely blessed. Because the owners say, I only own 10% of the company. I gave the rest away. Gave the rest away. Amen. To the employees, amen, and the things that they're doing. Ain't that kingdom living? Amen. Knowing that God got you. Amen. Just started off late. He said, in 64, let's build a few houses, make some money. He didn't even understand what God had in store. Amen. And how many people have been blessed through that. Amen. So we see, amen, as we talk about priorities, all of us, every single person on the planet sets priorities. Whether from the rich who are prioritizing how to handle their riches, how to spend their money, all the way to the person that's living in, you know, in dire straits, amen, and just prioritizing how they're going to get some food for today. We all set priorities in one way or another, amen, because that's how life actions. Something has got to take precedence. Something is going to be on our mind, prevalent above everything else. Something or somebody sometimes. But we got to think about it. No matter who we are or what we're dealing with, we have priorities in our lives. Amen. And sometimes some of those priorities scream louder than others. Ain't that right? You ever had that? Amen. You're trying to focus on one thing, but something else is just in your head. I want the attention. I want the attention. Take care of me first. Do this first. And you know, hey, I ain't got time for that. But see, it's just, you know, so we got to get to the place we understand what's important, you know, and what's necessary. And we got to learn how to really prioritize. But, you know, as we look at this, we got to think about kingdom priorities, because why? We're kingdom people. We're striving to be those people who are thinking and acting and functioning throughout life based on what the Word of God says. But there's no escaping it. We all have priorities. So you got to sit down and think about how we're going to prioritize our living. Amen. So today we want to talk about, you know, a word, amen, that's called first. Everybody say first. First can be a challenge to us, amen. And you know, even as I listen to the clip, how many times they say first. Amen. Now they put this first and they put that first. Why? Because they understand that principle of first. Amen. And so as we look into the scripture, we're going to see, amen, how that word plays out. Should be playing out in our lives. Amen. In our choices and our decisions. You know, as I was preparing, I came across this, you know, a story. Amen. There was a man who was experiencing, he went to visit his doctor because he was experiencing pain all over his body, amen. And no matter where he touched, every place that he touched, amen, it was great pain. You know, so he went to his doctor, and the doctor examined him, you know, and looked at him, and the doctor said, well, this is very unusual. And he had him touch some more places on his body. And he said, okay, what's going on? You know, what's happening? And he said, well, the doctor finally pinpointed what the problem was. He said, sir, you have a dislocated finger. So no matter where he touched, he was feeling pain, but it was his finger. So once they identified the problem, they were able to fix that problem, which solved everything else. Everything else was in order because he was able to solve that one problem. Amen. See, so, but see, a lot of us live our lives, amen. We got chaos and we got this going on and that going on, pain here and pain there, struggles here and struggles there. You know, and the problem is that we have not pinpointed what the real problem is. You know, I think about how it was said even in our couples ministry last month, what is the issue when the issue is not the issue? Well, sometimes we think the issue on the surface is the issue, but that's really not the issue. There's an underlying problem, amen, that causes us to focus on all the other things, but if we would fix just that one thing, everything else would come into line. Everything else would be in order, but we're so busy dealing with the other stuff and panicking and worrying and doing all this about the other stuff, we really never get down to the root of the matter. Get down to what it really is, and that's important, amen. We have to get to what it really is so that now we can solve it and everything else just kind of aligns itself up. We want to make that happen? get to the root, amen, get to, you know, because I know we got things going on in our lives, amen, that we can find ourselves functioning, and we're frustrated, amen, and we're wondering, where is God, and why is this continuing to happen? But he's still waiting for us to get down to the root, amen, and we find the root in his word. As we begin to look at it, we find it right in the word of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking, amen, and this is where we get our scripture from, but he was talking to Christians. He was talking to believers, amen. He was dealing with his original disciples, amen, and from Matthew 5 through Matthew 7, amen, that's probably the longest recorded sermon that Jesus gave in the Bible. And he was dealing with his people, speaking to how we should function and how we should live. Amen. If you haven't read it lately, I recommend you go back and read it. Amen. But that's where we find our central verse for this year, Matthew 6:33. Take a look at it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, does it say might? Say could? Should? No, he said all these things shall be added unto you. Very short but powerful verse. Amen. And then I want to read that verse in the Amplified. He said, but seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together, all the things you're striving after, amen, taken together, will be given to you, given you besides. If we would just put him first, you know, our thinking, our processing is out of joint when we don't put him first. And we find we have struggles and we have problems and we have issues that are compounded. But when we look at the word first, amen, we want to come to that place, say, Lord, I really want to put you first. I really want you to be first in every area of our lives. I like how Dr. Tony Evans, when he's speaking, he talks about, you know, what is the kingdom agenda? Amen. And he says it's the visible manifestation of the comprehensive rule of God in every area of life. Let me say that again. The visible, in other words, we can see it. Manifestation of the comprehensive, that means every part in detail. The comprehensive rule, of his authority of God in every area of life. There's not one area in your life that God shouldn't be in charge. Not if you're living by the kingdom agenda. And that's what he's asking for. So when we seek God, amen, and we really seek God, his word lets us know what he requires of us. He's good. He didn't just throw us out there and call us to the kingdom, amen, and leave it to us to try to figure out what his expectations are. You ever, you know, tell somebody, have somebody tell you to go do something and they didn't tell you exactly what they expected out of it? That's setting you up for what? Failure. Amen. Setting you up, amen, so that you would fall short. But when we understand what the requirements are, now we know what we're shooting for. We know what we're striving to achieve, amen, according to the word of God. So when we seek God and his kingdom first, you know, our lives, amen, we have the fullness of what God intends for us. Amen. How many want the fullness of what God intends for you? I know I do. Amen. So, but it requires to constantly, you know, with a intention to purposely put him first. And sometimes that can be challenging. Why? Because we know what our feelings and our emotions and all those things are telling us. We know what, you know, the things that we see in front of us, amen, you know, that's screaming for our attention are telling us, but we still got to decide and consciously put God first. You know, right? Kind of goes back to what we talked about last week, amen, as we're talking about kingdom first giving. You know, you got bills over here and bills over there, and they're screaming for attention, and God's saying, are you going to put me first? Are you going to put me first? Are you going to let those things take priority? You know, we don't want to. Even in that area, he said, every area of our lives, isn't it right? Amen. So we got to get to that place, amen, of put God first. And when we do that, we open the door, amen, for him to come in and be a blessing in our lives. But when we don't do it, we open the other door for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc. in our lives. Which door? You know, I think about, you know, back in the day, I forget that there was the game show on TV and say, you know, was the Price is Right? Which door you going to choose? Door number one, door number two, door number three? You know, I want to choose the door that God is coming through. Right. Amen. He said, I stand at the door and knock. But he ain't the only one knocking on your door, because he told Cain, when he killed his brother, he said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. In other words, sin is knocking on the other door. Amen. So which door are you going to open? Which one you going to let in? Jesus or the enemy? You know, we got to choose. Amen. So in order to make that happen, we got to let him, Jesus, and his ways be the center of our lives, the center of everything that we do. But the problem is, a lot of Christians have Jesus in the vicinity, but he's really not the center. Hello? You know, you kind of have him hanging around just in case you need him, but he's not the center of everything. He's not the focus of everything. You know, he don't want to just be in the vicinity. Amen. Not at all. Amen. He wants to be first in our lives, in everything that we do. Amen. As we think about it, we learn. Amen. You know, through experience, I have learned. Amen. And me and Pastor Linda had this conversation several times. You know, people find the time and the resources and the money and all that, whatever it might be, to do what matters most to them. You know, so when people tell us, amen, things like, I don't have time for church, and I don't have time to do this, and I don't have the concerning kingdom, what you're really saying is, he's not the center of my life. Right? Because I have other things that require, but see, when we really want to do something, we adjust schedules. Amen. We do whatever it takes. We make sacrifices, you know, because, you know, if you want to get your hair done, brother, you want to get them nice new shoes, or you want to get that new gaming console, or, you know, whatever it might be, we make whatever sacrifices we have to, because why? That's a priority in our life. Amen? So when we stop and think about it, what kind of kingdom priorities are we operating by? I mean, how are we addressing that? How are we facing that? He wants to be first. Let's look at some scripture. Jesus wants to be the first love in our lives. In Revelation 2:4, he says this, he was talking to the church of Ephesus. Well, he talked to the seven churches, but as he said this to the church of Ephesus, but I have this one charge to make against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. Wow. He wasn't happy. He said, you've done all these other things. And it's not like he was saying, you don't love me. Amen. But what he's really saying is, I really no longer have first place in your heart, because other things have taken that position. Other things have became a higher priority. Because look what he says, amen. He's not saying you don't love me. Because in the third verse he said this, I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. You know, he said, you're doing good in these areas, but the problem is, I know I'm not your first love. I've lost first place in your life. I hope that's not none of us. Amen. But he wants to be first. Amen. He wants to be our first love. Y'all remember how it was, amen? At least let me say, I remember how it was when I first fell in love with my wife. It was in high school, amen? And, you know, that was my first love, amen? And it was, we made it a priority, amen, to spend time together. We made it a priority, amen, to talk to each other every week. No. Every day. I'll even go so far as to say there's a few times that we even skipped school to hang out together. Because that was I'm by myself, baby. Okay, thank you. Because I sure wasn't by myself then. But see, we had a priority. She was my first love, and nothing. And to this day, can't no one take that place. The only one ahead of her is God. And that's what we got to recognize. Down the road, we get to a place where we start taking God out of first place. He's no longer that number one priority. And don't you think if she wasn't my number one priority, she'd figure it out sooner or later? So do you not know that God knows when he's not first priority in our lives? Same way, amen, because he's looking at it, he's watching, amen. It causes a problem, amen. And then he talks about first fruits. We're talking about first this morning. In Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, it says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labor. This is out of the Amplified. And with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall overflow with new wine. Now, we spoke about our kingdom giving last week, so I shouldn't have to spend too much time in this area. But that's another area, amen. You know, remember how I was saying last week how we can get to a place, even in this area, how we rob God? You know, we looked at how they took tithe money from the treasury and gave it to Judas to betray Jesus. And so we begin to ask ourselves, would we betray Jesus for 10%? People are doing it every day. People are doing it every week, betraying it for 10%. And saying, Lord, I love you. And he said, no, I already know I'm not first place in your life. Because you're robbing me over here, and you're cheating and you're stealing from me. But he wants to be first even in that area. Amen. He wants to be first place in every area of our lives. Look at Colossians 1:16. Say, by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and he in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the first from the dead. Now look what he says at the end. So that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He's done all this. He created it all through him, for him. Amen. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's done all these things so that he can be in first place. So who are we? Who am I to take him out of first place? And do I think that, amen, that he would be pleased? He will accept nothing less than first place in our lives. He will not be satisfied with second place or anything else. First place is what he's calling for. Amen. If we can just work on getting him there and keeping him there, you know, it's important to keep him there. You know, when we grew up, amen, there was a room in our house, amen, and most of us have one, amen. If you're in a large house, amen, you got a room that's called the living room, amen. And in the living room, as a kid, Elder Otis would testify, we wasn't allowed to go in the living room. Mm-mm. That was a special room set aside. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Special guest, amen. Some of you go there, and they still got plastic on the furniture. You know, and you only go in there only if, you know, you had special guests that came over to see your parents. You know, it was a looking room, but we called it a living room. But the problem is no one lives in there. We usually live in the den or in the kitchen. Amen. We live in the family room. Amen. But we don't live in the living room. So it should be called the visiting room, because it's only good for visits. You can only go in there when special people come. You know, and we're not talking about your guests. Amen. But your parents' guests. Amen. Then you don't touch nothing. Everything has to be pristine. Don't hang out in the living room. Go downstairs to the family room. Go in the kitchen, you know, but not the living room. You know, you don't go there. So what am I saying? Some of us treat Jesus like that. He's no more than a living room to us. You know, we come visit him on Sunday. you know, or special occasions we might visit him. Hello, am I talking to anybody? Amen. We might visit him if we take time out for some meditation or devotion, but we don't live with him every day. He's not a main thought. Amen. We don't meditate on his word. We don't allow him to be a part of all our conversations. We visit him every now and then we go off and do what we want to do, because why? He's not number one. But what I'm talking about, when he's number one, he's a part of everything you do. Every choice, every decision, he's a part of everything you do, because he's first in your life. How many of us have made decisions without asking God? How do you even know that God is first? It's how we make our choices. Do we go to our own reasoning? Do we go to friends or family or counselors, or before we go to Jesus and say, what do you think about this? Or what should I do about this? Before we go to him in prayer. These are ways we know if he's first in our lives. Do we go to his word first? Or do we turn and see what Dr. Phil or Oprah got to say about it? Or maybe we'll get some good advice when we watch The View. You know? Are we turning to Jesus? Is he our first counselor, as it says in Isaiah? He's a wonderful counselor, it says. Amen. But if we really get to that place, amen, to allow him to be first in everything, every choice, every decision. Are y'all getting it? He got to be number one. He has to be number one, amen, as we go forth, amen. The scripture says, seek ye first. You know, that is a principle. No, if we recognize that when he told them that, it wasn't a suggestion. It was a command from the king. He said, seek ye first. He didn't say you should. Amen. But seek ye first and all these things would be added unto you. Amen. But we missed that principle of putting him first. And the second part of that these things, how many like that part? All these things shall be added unto you. Amen. We all like things. Anybody here like nice things? Come on, I got one honest person. Raise a hand over there. I think we all like nice things. I mean, you don't work hard, amen, to go down just to buy a hoopty. Right? No. I mean, you don't work hard, amen, not to have nice things, amen. And see, sometimes we put the achieving of the things ahead of the one that gave us the ability to work, to get the things. Amen. And we get it out of alignment there, you know, understanding. But if we really look, we all have, there are necessities in life. And he said that he's able to supply all our needs according to what? His riches in glory. He knows what we have need of. And if we will put him first, God can show up in our lives. He can show up, amen. And sometimes our needs are not material. Can we just think about that for a minute? Sometimes you have, what other kind of needs do you have other than material? Sickness? Amen. The touch of our body, the healing. Amen. Anybody ever needed peace of mind? Come on. That's a need. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't realize that our needs are more than just those things that we can put our hands on. Right. Amen. Sometimes we just need him to move in a relationship. Right. Amen. There's been times that I've needed him to move into my marriage. Amen. And I believe, and I know that he did. Why? Because I put him first. Amen. There's things, amen, even in when we were going through circumstances in our marriage, that God told me, well, I just need you to do this and just keep doing that. And for the life of me, I didn't want to do it. But I had to put what he said above what I felt. Hello. See, he said he'll supply my need. He knew what I needed to do at that time. He supplied me with, you know, with the thing I needed that was going to benefit me down the road, even though my feelings weren't in it. Amen. But yet I had to do it. And because I was obedient and put him first, I reaped the result. Because he gave me what I needed. Let's see, if we allow feelings and emotions and even, let me say this, even the responses of others stop us from doing what God said do, we'll miss out on his blessings. See, if you're doing what God says do, no matter how people respond, you just keep doing what God said do. He said, well, I just didn't feel it, or they just didn't receive it. He didn't say nothing about their part. He said, you do your part. Can I talk about this just for a minute? You just do your part. You just be obedient. Amen. No matter how much of a knucklehead he acting like, and no matter how much he ain't treating you the way you want to be, just do what God told you to do. Put him first, because he knows what you need to do. And it's up to them to listen to God and do what he's telling them to do. Amen. So we look at, but there's these priorities in our lives, and it's amazing, amen, that sometimes, too often, we get it out of order. Because we allow our feelings, our emotions to prioritize rather than our commitment and our obedience to God to prioritize. If we just say, okay, God, I surrender. So what does that really look like to put you first? It looks like it's a suffering way sometimes. Amen? I just being honest. Sometimes it looks like it's a suffering way because we know what we want. And sometimes it feel like God ain't moving fast enough. Come on now. Anybody ever felt that? Amen. He ain't moving fast enough. Oh. Amen. I want it. And I, you know how they say on the commercial, it's my money and I want it when? Now. Okay? Yeah. That's why most of us have microwaves in our homes or apartments, because we want it fast. We want it quick. That's why we don't get out of our car. We go through the drive-thru. Right? And we're glad they got two lines now. You know what? Huh? Because we can get through even that much faster. I mean, it's all these things, amen, because we are a convenience-driven people, amen. We're consumers, amen, and we want what we want. We want it now. We don't want to wait, amen, sometimes, but God is going to cause you to wait. He said, there that will do what? Wait upon the Lord. Shall what? Renew their strength, amen. He said, they shall what? Mount up with the wings of eagles, amen. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But they got to first, they got to do what?
Wait.
Everybody say wait.
Wait.
Say it again. Wait.
Wait.
How many of us like waiting? I ain't getting no response on that. Look at that. Because we don't like waiting. We get to a restaurant, we don't want to wait. Huh? We want our food quick. We want everything. Say, help us, Lord. We got to come under his authority and under his rule, amen. So as we do that, we ask him, and we got to be honest with ourselves, do I really put God first in my life? Do I really put him first in my circumstances and situations, amen? Or do I turn to everywhere else looking for things to happen, amen, because God isn't moving fast enough? We can get ahead of God, and then we got to turn back to him and ask him to help us clean up the mess that we created. Amen? Because we think we know how it should go. Amen. If it ain't going that way, we're gonna step in and try to help God. Let me let you in on a little secret. God don't need your help. All he wants from you is your participation. There's a difference. Amen. If we're participating with God, we're doing what he said, like he said, when he said. But when we're helping God, we're kind of getting like, you know, those that try to do things ahead of God that he didn't tell you to do, amen. And then, therefore, we create problems, amen, rather than, you know, how Sarah did. You know, God said, y'all going to have a child. It was taking too long, so Sarah said, well, you know, go in there with your handmaiden. And we like her, we birth an Ishmael into our life. Amen. An illegitimate child that really wasn't the one from that God was intended to bless. They had to deal with Ishmael, but still Isaac was still coming. Amen. And now when Isaac came, now they had issue between the Ishmael and the Isaac, because we got ahead of God. Instead of what doing what? Waiting on God. We got to get there, amen, and say, okay, God, when I have a problem, when I have an issue, I want to come to you first. I don't want the advice of the world. You know, why do we go to the world for advice? A system that tries to keep God out, and we God people trying to come in to that system. Say, no. We can't. We got to say, okay, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. So why would we live according to the world's advice? Amen. What does the Word of God say about your situation? You know, it amazes me, amen, that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, you can find an answer in the Word of God. If we would just look and then be willing to obey. Be willing to submit. Be willing to surrender. To be willing to yield. See, the problem, amen, when and the thing that makes the difference, amen, is our humility. Amen. Our willing to sacrifice our way for His way. Amen. And when it comes to it, amen, how the Scripture tells us, you know, that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Them living sacrifices don't want to stay on the altar. Amen. In order to be a sacrifice, you got to die. You got to be dead. And, when they did the sacrifices on the altar, they didn't just put one part of the animal. They put the whole thing on the altar. That means you got to put your whole life, sacrifice your whole life to God. Amen. So that we can prove what's acceptable unto Him. Amen. We got to say, okay, God, we don't want to run to everything. And when everything else fails, then we turn around and we come running back to God. Let's go to Him first. You know how we as parents say, you know what, we tell our children, if you have a problem, do what? Come to me first, right? Amen. And then when they mess up, we find out they messed up, what's the first thing we say? Why didn't you tell me first? God's no different. He's talking to His children. He said, come to me first. If you have a problem, come to me first. But we make a mess, then we come to Him. And you said, if you'd have just listened to my advice that I gave you in the Word of God. How many times have we told our kids, if you'd have just listened? Or maybe we as children, we realize later on that if I had just listened to mom and dad, anybody in that category, if I'd have just listened to the advice of those in front of me who've been down this road and who've made the shipwreck, and now here I got to do it my own way. Hello, I'm talking to somebody. Amen. But even when we look at this verse, 6:33, we need to look at and understand the context of this verse. Amen. And I just want to, you know, go through some of this, amen, and help us to see the context of this verse as He was talking to His people, amen, by looking at some of the verses surrounding and see what He was saying. In the 25th verse, He said, what? Come on, y'all. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. 27, what's He say? Come on, okay. 28. Oh, y'all getting it now. Okay. 28. 6:28. I'm looking at the portions of this verse that helps us set the context of what He was saying in the 33rd verse. What did He say in verse 31? What was the portion? Do not worry. 34, what did He say? So do not. Let's go do that again, okay? Let's try that again. 25. Thirty-one. And 34. So what's He telling us? Hello? Anybody? What's He telling us? What you worried about? If I'm first in your life, because 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom and all in His righteousness and all these things will be added. So He said, what you're worrying about. Right in the middle of that, He gives the answer, the antidote, amen, if you want to say it like that. The antidote for worrying is putting Him first. Amen. And if we just do that, He'll take care of everything. And it was amazing because, I went online last night after I was looking. I said, well, you know what? There's a lot of people worrying about a lot of things. And the things that I've seen, because I wanted to get some up-to-date statistics. So what I've seen, amen, was amazing. Very alarming, in fact. The statistics that I want to read to you. And pay attention. Amen. Because it deals with worry, or it's called in medical terms, what? anxiety. Any anxious people in here? Hello. Okay. Pay attention. Everybody. Because it ain't just the ones that raised their hand. They was honest enough. Hello? But in the U.S., think about this. The common mental illness in the U.S. affects 40 million adults. 40 million between the ages of 18 and older. That's 18.1% of the population. That's like one in five people is suffering from anxiety. That's a lot. I mean, I was like, wow. So I dug a little bit deeper, and we begin to see, man, that, you know, that means, you know, people with an anxiety disorder are 3 to 5 times more likely to go to a doctor and 3 times more likely to be hospitalized for psychiatric disorders. Worry. Okay? Anxiety disorders develop a complex set of risk factors, including factors that affect genetics, brain chemistry, personality, life events. Why? Because it's all in our mind, and it's affecting our body. Anxiety disorders go hand in hand. Anxiety and depression, excuse me, go hand in hand. Nearly half of those diagnosed with depression are also diagnosed with anxiety disorder. Worry. Anxiety disorders, amen, they come from general to specific in nature. Listen at some of these disorders. Generalized anxiety disorder, GAD, affects 6.8 million adults. Panic disorders, PD, affects 6 million adults. Social anxiety disorder, SAD, that's kind of sad, right? Right? Affects 15 million adults. Think about this. Specific phobias. Anybody got phobias in here? Come on, I know they're in here, amen. 19 million adults. We're just talking in the U.S. alone. You know, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Okay, it's in the house. Amen. 2.2 million adults. Things got to be just so, or they get anxious, no matter what it might be. Some is very specific. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, 7.7, and that affects men and women. All these affect men and women. And sometimes when we hear PTSD, we just think military, but that's just one place that it happens. People go through all kind of traumatic situations in their lives, from car accidents to rape to murder, all these things, and produce PTSD in people's lives. And it goes all the way back to after you've experienced the traumatic situation, the disorder is, I'm still worried it might happen again. I'm stressing over what happened to me, rather than really being able to trust God to bring you out of that, amen, and be at peace and be put, you know, confidence in Him. Major depressive disorder, MDD, 16.1 million. In other words, we got millions and millions of people, amen, that are dealing with worry. It's killing us. Amen. And then there are what they call co-occurring disorders that come along with it. Things like bipolar, eating disorders, headaches, IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, sleep disorders, substance abuse, adult ADHD, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, stress. All this stuff comes from what Jesus told us not to do. Worry. It affects us more than we realize. It affects us, and we got to put Him first, because He's a deliverer. He can give us peace where we can find none nowhere else, if we would just get to the place to say, God, I trust You, amen. And these millions that we just read are only the reported cases. Think about that. There's only those that have reported, and you know, but how many people don't go to the doctor? They just deal with their stress and their worry and then their anxiety, because they don't even realize what they're going through. They don't even realize what they're dealing with. They never even get diagnosed. Worrying is a plague in our nation and in the church, because we're not putting Him first like we need to put Him first. He wants to be first, amen. Whether we're worried about our job, our health, our safety, amen, relationships. Some people are worried about flying. I just can't do it. I love flying. Amen. Worried about our income, amen. We worried about so many things, amen. Worried if terrorism is going to hit again. You know, I read a statistic, and I've said it before, amen, a little while back. It said that 90% of the stuff we worry about never happens. 90% of what we worried about never even come to pass. But we've put all that energy into worrying. We put all that stress into worrying about it. Now, this thing that's amazing, you know, we don't have to do it. It's just like, okay, help us, Lord, if we just put him first. Trust God. Call on his name. And if we would just do it, amen, he would make a way for us. Now, I read another story. It was talking about a man who was running through the airport. He was late for his flight. He was rushing and ducking and dodging through the crowd, you know, like an NFL running back. I mean, he was just cutting here and there, you know. And then he got to the, you know, he was getting closer to the gate, and he bumped into an airline employee who was dressed in a uniform. And he stopped and paused a minute and said, tell the man, I'm sorry, excuse me. You know, so the man said, what's your big rush? He said, I got to catch my flight. He said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Austin. Said, oh, stop worrying and relax. I'm the pilot of that plane. And it's not going anywhere without me. You know, so the matter, instantly, he was able to relax because he knew where the pilot was. And, you know, everything is all right. What am I saying? And when you know where God is, everything is okay. You can relax. And he ain't going nowhere without me. I'm going to be fine. But see, if we don't know where he's at and we don't know where we're at with him, you need to worry. You got reason to worry. But when you know that you know, I'm good. Because he's walking with me. He said he'll never leave me or forsake me. That pilot was saying, I'm not going to leave without you. Let's walk together. Huh? We get to the gate. We'll get it. We're good to go because we're trusting God. That's what it means, amen, as we trust him and we put him first. Okay, Lord, I don't want to miss my flight. And I'm not talking about on no airplane. Huh? Amen. I'm talking about when he come to snatch away his saints. I don't want to miss my flight because I put something else in place of him. And I'm worried about somewhere else. Amen. We know where he is. Amen. And even this last verse, we didn't read it in its entirety. Amen, in that sixth chapter of Matthew, because, you know, we got to think about yesterday and today and tomorrow. And sometimes we're worried about what happened yesterday, and we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. So much so, amen, that it's stealing from our joy and our peace and our experience today. I can't even enjoy today worrying about tomorrow. I can't enjoy today because I'm still tripping over what happened yesterday. But don't you know, and think about this. Today is the yesterday that you worried about tomorrow. So all you really have is today. So what we need to learn how to do is focus on today. Because tomorrow is going to be the today that you're worried about. And then you're always going to have another tomorrow, and you're always going to have another yesterday as long as you're breathing. So where you need to put your focus is on where? Today. Amen. And look what it says, that 34th verse. It says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for what? Itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. And in the message, it says it like this. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Let me read that again. Amen. And don't get worked up, I'm talking to somebody, about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Huh? I like that. He said, in other words, Don't pay interest for something that'll never happen. Just focus on today and say, thank you, God, for today. You know, we worry ourselves, we kill ourselves, amen. We let anxiety and worry steal from our peace, amen. You ever been in a place you can't even talk to somebody because you're so worried about what might happen tomorrow? Huh? Or you shut down because you're still living in yesterday. So you bring the yesterday and today. They meet your, let me say it like this, they meet your story before they meet you. Hello? You ever meet people like that? They're so busy telling about what they've been through, you don't know who they are now. Because they're still living in the past. It's like, no, we got to move beyond that. Amen. And say, hey, my name is, and this is who I am. And maybe one day you might find out what I've been through, but because I don't want to be a person that look like what I've been through. Amen. So we got to recognize, amen, thank you for what's happening today. Amen. Because he commands us to do so. Let's look at a couple more verses, then I'm going to wrap it up. Amen. Because I thank God. But look what he even said to the children of Israel. When we put God first, don't you know he got your back? Some of us may, you know, we haven't experienced that because we haven't tested him. Amen. But Isaiah 52 and 12 says this as he was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said, but you do not have to be in a hurry. Sometimes we're trying to run from things we're going through. He said, you don't have to be in a hurry. You're not running from anybody. God is leading you out from here. He's talking about Egypt. And God, and the God of Israel, is also your rear guard. He said, I got your back. So when you come out, even though they might come out, I got you. And we see it in Scripture. When they came running, what did he do? He had them. He covered them. Amen. He opened up the Red Sea so they could escape and swallowed up their enemies. Why? Because he said, I got your back. He said, these Egyptians you see today, you will never see them anymore. That's what he let them know. Amen. And then, and even when he talked in Isaiah 58 about fasting, when we fast and we someone said he said that word. Huh? But what am I saying? When we fast, when we put God first, amen, and it's a fast. He said the fast that he has chosen, look what he said in the 8th verse. He said, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He said, I still got your back. If we would just put him first, he goes before us, and he's got our back. He's got us covered. In other words, he got you surrounded. What you worried about? What you sweating? Amen. Imagine, amen, what it would be like if we continue to put him first. Amen. We wouldn't worry about yesterday or tomorrow. Amen. Because why? We'd be right in here today. But like I said, sometimes we don't get to see it because we're busy trying to fix everything, mend everything, put everything together, obtain everything all by ourselves because we haven't trusted him to fulfill his word. Amen. We go doing it the hard way rather than doing it the easy way. And that's trusting God. He said, cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke and learn of me, he said. You know, he said, because I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we would just trust him, if we would just believe him, it'll be all right. But we got to put him first. So as you're standing, I just want to share one more story with you, or one more illustration. You know, think about it. How many of us ever played baseball? Softball. All right? You in the house, okay? Now, imagine, amen, if the runner misses first base. And he goes around and he hits second and he hits third and he comes across home plate and everybody is jumping and cheering, you know, congratulating him for his home run. But he didn't touch first base. He missed what was first. None of the rest matters. He's still out. None of the rest matters, amen. Why? Because he did not hit first base. And sometimes we are missing first base. We go into second before we go to first. We done hit third. We done talked to the other person. We done came home. We done made our decision. We think we made it. You say, you missed me. So none of this other stuff you did matters. But didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? You know, we raised the dead in your name. We gave tithes and we gave offerings and we did all this in your name. But he said, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't put me first. You did all these things, but you had no relationship with me. You didn't put me first. We got to put him first in everything. And when we do that, he'll show up. Amen. When we do all these other religious things, but we don't have a spiritual relationship with him in first place, all the religious stuff is not going to get us in. We have to have that relationship with him. It can't be dependent on what somebody else is doing or what you're going through. It's got to be about you and him. He's got to be the love of your life. Let's bow our heads. And if you're struggling in any of these areas, if he's not first, I invite you to come to the altar. Say, Lord, help me to really put you in first place in my life. Help me to really get to that place where, Lord, I'm not looking to the left or to the right, but I lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. Because all my help has got to come from you. Our answers are in him. Our help is in him. Our hope is in him. Our salvation is in him. And he loves us with an everlasting love. But he's not one that will be jilted by us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. Lord, and we thank you right now, Lord, because you are long-suffering. Hallelujah. You're one, God, that gives us opportunities after opportunity after opportunity to come to you and to call upon your name. Lord, you allow us to operate in your grace. Hallelujah. And by your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for that. But Father, help us to get to that place, God, to where we don't need mercy because we're in the right place. We don't need you to give us grace because we're off, God, but help us to operate in your favor. Help us to operate in a place, God, where you know that you are number one in our hearts, our minds, and every part. God, that we are living according to your kingdom agenda, God, the visible manifestation. Hallelujah, your comprehensive rule in every area of our lives, every area. Lord, you are number one. So I pray for these that have come. I pray for each one under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah, God, that you would speak to us, God, and really cause us to take inventory of our living, inventory of our relationship with you, and help us to be honest with ourselves, Lord, that we might get to a position, God, to put you first in everything. Not withholding, God, hallelujah, our time, our resources, our talents, our gifts, our love, but giving it all to you first. And Lord, that we may see your power, your favor, your blessings released in our lives in a whole new way. In every circumstance, God, we put our peace and our confidence in you. We trust you. We thank you. We praise you, God, for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Put him first. Keep him first. Hallelujah. Start off by making him your Valentine. Hallelujah. God's got to be first. He wants to be first. Amen. And if you're here and you have not given your life to him, that's the first part of making him first. Surrendering it to him. And maybe you need to recommit yourself. Amen. Recommit yourself to him because why? You've walked away or you're unsure about your salvation, whoever you might be. Amen. I invite you to come. Today is the day of salvation. You know, it's a good day. You're still breathing. No matter what you've done, what you've been through, what's happened to you. Amen. God loves you. Amen. And he wants to be in relationship with each and every one of us. He created us for that purpose. That he might be in relationship with us. Amen. And that we may be able to do his will in the earth. Hallelujah. You see, because when we're in right standing with God, we can be the light. We can be the salt. Amen.